to advertise, email podcast@thisismatchy.com.
Release yourself from order and logic and enter a new place. It's not work. It's not home. Here, no maps have been drawn. No books have been written. Nothing is certain. Everything is possible. Welcome to podcast and chill with Matt G.
I'm assuming this doesn't end well.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome our friend of the show, one of the greatest goalkeepers to come out of SA, Brighton Mhlongo.
Kezo.
How you, bud?
I'm good, as yourself?
Are you in the top five goalkeepers of all time in SA?
I'd love to wish that I am, but at least Kev, I was once voted one of the best goalkeepers, five best goalkeepers. Kev Confed, I think it was 2015. If I'm
wow, yeah. Dope, man.
Oh,
yeah. Kev took
it. Because top five, I only know Brian Baloyi. Who else is there?
South African born or who played in the PSL?
South African born.
Ooh, damn, that's tricky.
Andre?
Guys, looking far.
Wait, Andre?
Brighton, Dave, Andre, John Tlale, definitely.
John Tlale, what did he play for?
John Tlale played for Sundowns, the guy who had the Chinese
eyes. Wayne Fernandez.
Eh?
Wayne.
Rowan.
Yeah. Rowan Fernandez.
Yes.
Rowan. Yes. I mean, he even went overseas.
He did.
But more than John Tlale.
John.
Hey.
Okay. So let's expose our age. Pela, no.
Ah, Pela, Dallas Mugeli Pola. Wow. Okay. Fair enough. He went overseas, John Tlale.
During Brian Baloyi's reign, who was at Pirates?
William Zokpara.
It was William Zokpara.
Yeah.
Hence my question.
Yeah.
Because some of the best keepers we've had is William Zokpara, Potende Eshele. And they weren't South African. You know Potende? You know Potende Eshele? Oh, God.
Yeah, he was from...
One of the best keepers ever to grace the PSL.
Yeah.
Literally, played for Chiefs. Before Brian Baloyi, Potende Eshele was the guy. Before Zokpara, before everyone, Potende Eshele was a superstar.
Yeah. Why did you choose to be a goalkeeper? Because goalkeepers don't get much love, dog. Like, they get a lot of flack, eh?
It chose me, actually, because I always tell people how it happened. I was an infield player, a good player. Wow. And then we were playing a tournament. So, you know, back in the days, we didn't have these things. I wore reserve goalkeeper.
Sure.
Pick one guy.
One keeper.
Who's going to be a keeper. We're like, we know. Infield, us keep with that guy. So, keeper got injured. Got injured during that tournament. Yeah. He couldn't continue. Oh. And then my dad was there. He was like, hey, I think you should stand in goals. I'm like, hey, I've never done it before. He's like, no, I'll take you through it. I'll just stand behind the goalpost and I'll take you through it. I'm like, okay.
What I position were you playing?
I was playing midfield.
Midfield?
Yeah.
8-6.
You know, I was playing an 8.
8.
Yeah. Mm. So from there, I had a decent game. Lucky enough, the Pirate Scout for the academies were there. Mm. And they're like, no, we loved what we saw. Mm. Do you mind if we invite you for trials? While I was about to say, hey, I'm a midfielder, I'm a dead, they're like, yeah, he'll be there. You know? So that's how it happened. And then I went to Pirates that entire week. So normally my daily routine would be coming back from school, focus on my schoolwork, and then wash my socks. Mm. That's it. But that week, the entire week, my dad would come back home early. And then, I never dived like this at the back of the yard. I've never dived like this.
You wanted the contract. That contract was
so
for your dad.
Like, hey, you're going to be a goalkeeper. I've been diving every day after school.
Wow.
It actually helped me because when I got to the Pirates Academy, the trial went well. And then that's how, you know, the story unfolded. After that, I went to Pirates, I think at the age of 10 or 11, throughout until I matriculated, until I went to play to all these different teams and then went back to the senior team.
Yeah.
So that was the defining moment, basically, for me, from being the midfield and playing that game. And that was it. And obviously diving every day after school.
Yeah.
That was it.
Before we get into the teams you played for, Nick, did your dad ever see you play for Orlando Pirates' first team?
Shucks. It's always a touchy one, that one, because I remember my first camp. My first camp was the Carling Cup against Chiefs. And then I got selected there. And then he was in hospital because he was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer at that time. So when I got to hospital, I was like, nah, let me just give him the good news. After giving him those news, I was like, yay, I'm in camp. So my dad was a Chiefs fan, you know? So,
aren't we all?
So, I'm a coach. So dad was like, you know what?
Now do it again.
I'm a coach.
No, do it again.
Shit,
no. Do it again.
I'm a coach. Hey, man, I don't want you to sell that, man.
You should hang your head.
Why did you see
that? Hang
your head in shame. Look at the wrong
edge. Hang your head in shame, bro.
I'm dead, actually.
Hang your head in shame, man.
I was somehow conflicted as well throughout my career, you know?
Yeah.
So trying to please the old man. At the same time, I'm like, hey, I'm following my career.
Sure.
So when I got there, at least he was much alive. He was like, okay, that's good news. And I felt like, okay, he's going to watch the game the next day. Then next morning, apparently passed on in the morning.
No way.
But match day. So my mom told the management that don't tell him. Because his dad would have wanted him to play that game, you know. So they didn't tell me. We go on, play the game. And then we won the game. We're thinking, you know, before the game, we're planning already. Gents, after la. Yes, it's on. It's on. So we're planning, we're solid, we're celebrating. And then everyone is just... So basically, most of the guys knew about this, especially the captains and the other guys, you know, the senior guys, they knew about this. And then after the game, they just went straight to the dressing room, like, how? I saw celebrate, you know? So I'm walking in the dressing room, I'm thinking, okay, makenge, it's on. Shower, and then... Then I'm being called aside to the technical side of the room. Like, Ntwana, so-and-so happened, so we're going to drive you back home as a team. Your dad passed on. I'm like, nah, you guys are joking. Like, no, for real.
It's
I was like,
prank.
No, but this guy, I saw him, and Haibo, he was okay once yesterday. What happened? Oh. And that's how it happened. He never got to see me play. So every time whenever I stepped in for a derby, a soccer seat, it has always been, I'm playing it for him every time, you know. So the most proud moment for me was when we won the Carling Cup the following year, when I saved those penalties. I was like, you know, I'm doing it for this guy, you know. And it was a proud moment, but he never got to see. But I know wherever he is, he was proud.
Yeah. And your mom?
Yeah.
Well, my parents, when it comes to football, it was a case of, you go to school.
Yay.
Forget about this football thing. Go to school. You know. So she started taking notice. Well, when I came back to Pirates, when I was playing for the national team, that's when she's like, okay, there's something here, but school, please. You know. And then here and there, she check in. Oh, how's football? Oh, okay, you had a good game. Oh, by the way, she only calls if I have a bad game.
Same here.
Yeah. When you have a bad game, like, hey, I was frustrated.
Golfaga.
I'm thinking someone's going to come in and be on some, no, it's going to be okay. No. And you're thinking, you know. But I knew that it came from a good place. She's always motivating to see he can do better. He can do better. So she's one of
be
those.
Be careful. Don't give him. He might relapse. Eh? Don't give him some alcohol.
I used to drink.
I used to full blast, man. But at least now it's like, what, 5 to 6 years now.
You haven't drank?
Yeah. Not even a tiny drop.
Why did you stop, bro?
I think my life was going sideways. Not even sideways, upside down. And like, I don't even know how to put it, but I was going down the drain, man. To a point that I couldn't even recognize myself.
Wow.
Damn. And I was like, bro. Yo, you know when you look at yourself in the mirror like, hey, Ntwana? And I'd wake up in the morning, I'm like, where am I? How did I even get here?
No way!
The last time
For
I checked.
That sounds like a good night.
The last time I checked, I was popping bottles in the car.
Oh, that sounds like a good night, guys. But you don't know where you're at.
Yeah.
But you're a professional footballer, fam.
Yeah. But did you decide to just stop? I'd wake up like,
Dwana, okay, I understand with Sophie Lula. But then how's your car? Okay, if we're to drive in, how's your car? I rush downstairs, go to the parking lot. Okay, more dinner scratch in her neck.
That's dangerous.
Relief.
What were you asking?
No, I was asking, so did you just decide to stop and that was it, or did you have to go to rehab, or like, is there some measures you had to take?
Rehab didn't work. You know, there was didn't work. So there was a period where, like, there was a very difficult moment for all of us. I mean, like, my teammates at Pirates, especially when we lost to Senzo, right? So that period, we didn't get to deal with that as a team, you know, like, we only had probably one therapy session. And when this woman was busy talking, I'm looking at her, I'm like, because I couldn't hear anything, you know?
Yeah.
All I wanted to do was like, let me just go get a bottle, drown my sorrows. So what normally happens with footballers is that most of the things here in South Africa, we find it taboo. It's like, footballers, you're not supposed to drink. This and that, you know?
Yes. And most footballers will find them a taboo. Thank you.
Yeah, no, that's true. But then you find that
the bouncers know them first name basis.
Yeah. They know them Kanamba.
Kanamba.
Jersey number 15. Number 15. I'm gonna let you put that on Kanamba. No. Let you put that in as number 20. I'm gonna put number 17. But it's crazy. But you know, I love it how you mention it, because you get to a point where, I'll make an example. Week before a derby, you can't walk in the streets. Because when you step out, we are arrested. It's a weekend, we look to a strat, you know? And all those kind of things. Like, but guys, before I'm a footballer, I'm human, you know? And then after the game, you lose. Now things have changed. You see now, guys, after a game, immediately dressing room, someone is posting, hard luck, gents. We'll do better next time. No time, dog. Yo, you can't. You can't even post. Because you're thinking, first commenters are up. I'm over near Slice and Ann Buffett, you know? And so after the game, when you go through such, we used to call it like, hey, we abuse Nyana Le, because no one goes into a game and saying, I'm going to lose this game.
Of course.
At the end of the day, we all want to win. Mm. It's all about who shows up on that day.
Yeah.
You know?
You should blame it on the Mooty.
Yeah. But hey. I mean, with the Mooty thing, you know, the funny thing is like, sometimes I'll come to you and be like, good luck, but you're my opponent. Why am I saying good luck to you? Because I want to beat you. But I'm saying good luck to you. So all those things, I used to find them weird. Like, we're both praying. You're praying, I'm praying this side. So it's more about God, who is he going to favor on that day, you know?
Yeah.
So after losing that game, you can't do anything. You're frustrated. That's when now we create our small community as footballers. We're like, chance, you know what? Just to drown our sorrows, let's go hang out, let's just relax and just do us, where no one is going to scrutinize us, no one is going to say anything, you know?
Yeah.
So that's how this whole thing came about, where footballers are like, okay, it's better when we go as a group. When we go out as a group, we go to your taboo as a group. It's more or less like, it's either we're celebrating or we're just, you know, consoling ourselves. And then we kind of sort of developed that community to say, gents, we are the only ones who understand each other and what we're going through right now. So that's what happened with us at that time, whereby we were dealing with this whole sense of thing, but not the right way, right? So we got to a point where we are depressed. And now the results are not coming through.
So it affected you guys, even on the field?
It really did. And mind you, prior to that, we lost, I think, 4 cup finals consecutively like this. We lost your MTNs, we lost your Telkoms, we lost your KEF. And KEF was the big one. And we're like, chance, we're done. And no one ever stopped for that moment to ask, Ndwana, are you okay? You know, what's happening? You know, and when you feel like that, always you're putting up a brave face out there because you want to please these people, then you forget about you. But deep down inside, you're suffering. When you step out of that field, you're like, oh, back to that reality now.
So it's a lonely place being a footballer, dog.
Dog, it's insane. Wow. Because everyone, when they see you, it's like, we need Man of the Match. I promise, I'll make an example. I won Man of the Match, Nedbank Cup, we're playing Sundowns. Immediately when I stepped out, checking my phone. The 5,000, boy. The 5,000, boy.
Are you for real?
I haven't even received it myself.
I got clock no clock.
Ndwana, the 5,000. It goes as far as, whoa, you know, the check, man, the display.
Yeah.
Just, Ndwana, so cash in on the check. How the fuck do you go with that thing?
It's you're the like, bank.
You're carrying that thing. You're like,
so imagine the Royal AM players, because they get paid on the field.
That's worse.
That's worse.
You know, so all the pressures that you go through, I mean, never mind Amachi, the family, you know, you go
so
to.
So what do you say
gathering.
When people say, fuck that, man, you're getting paid 500,000 a week, relax.
It's insane. In my mind, I'm like, ish, if only you knew, boy. Pagatela, I'm little parampepe, manch. You know, but you, it goes along with your character at the end of the day. Because if you're that person who lives the fleshy life,
for sure,
you'll definitely have to keep up every time. And there are people, obviously, out there who go to some extent of getting loans and whatnot just to keep up, you know? And
getting loans.
Hey, bro, it's insane out there.
Hey, you gotta keep up appearances.
Yeah, you keep up appearances and the hands as well. You know how it is.
Come on, hey, dog. Man. You're playing for Pirates, man.
You see that on its own. When you play for a big team, it's worse.
That's pussy for days.
It's worse. Yeah. When you go to the mall, they wanna check which store you went to.
When you get to Taboo, you just call out numbers.
Yeah.
Hey, number 8.
What did you buy?
Number 9.
Pussy currency. You know? So it's all other things. The dynamics that come into it. Ash, it's a mess. It's a mess. So that's what we go through.
And that's crazy because when I follow the EPL a lot, the English Premier League.
Yeah.
And when I look at soccer players, I admire them. Like, I wish I was Ronaldo. I wish I was Messi. You know what I mean? Yeah. It looks like the good life, dog.
Different level there,
but, though. But that's different. I mean, if you're getting wages per week.
You guys don't get paid per week?
It's
per month.
But it's London. And then when he enter. Press the enter.
And now you got to play a game. It's Mampara week. You're worried like, fuck. Goals. What goals, nigga? I need money. Hey, I'm broke.
You're already thinking, if 50. Yo, my 50.
Why is that? Why do they pay per weekly?
I think... to answer that question, I think most teams, I mean, let's put it this way. There are teams that are getting paid by sponsors and so forth.
Oh, yes,
part
yes.
of the league, right?
Yes.
And then there are other teams whom we call, they pay to be part of the league. In the sense that you're basically running your team from your own pocket.
Yeah.
You know, so when you're doing it that way, it's always hard, man.
It's like the independent label.
Yeah. Mm. It's like, you know, the salary cap as well, it has to be minimal. You know,
so the PSL does not pay all the teams the same.
It does. There's a monthly grant of so and so.
Yeah.
You know, amount. That goes to the teams. Obviously, but honestly speaking, to be quite fair, it's never enough.
Yeah.
You know, because
we're
looking at stadium management. We're looking at security personnel. We're looking at
transport.
Before
food,
we can touch salaries, you know, transport to the games, back, hotel, you know, food, right. It's insane.
So you need a sponsor.
You do need a sponsor.
Do you guys ever know who's getting paid the most in the team?
Oh, yeah.
That's a nice one. That's a nice one. Oh, I mean, obviously, by looking at you, I'm like, I'll make you. I'll fit you. I know, my strong. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, we look at you like, this guy is rocking up with this and that. He's rocking up with the beam. He's killing it, you know?
Yeah, because you can read in the papers as well. Like, everybody knows how much Kune is getting paid
exactly.
and stuff.
But
those reports, I mean, they're never accurate. Sometimes it's based on speculations, you know, hearsay to say, oh, we're born now, you know? Yeah. But at the end of the day, they try as much as possible to make it, you know, private.
Yeah. How was it playing with Senzo, man?
Yeah. It was amazing. I mean, I played with Senzo from development years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and then he graduated. And by the time he graduated, I was like, and I was those kids who always had that thing. And would say, hey, do you think you're going to make it? This guy is good, man. You know, do you think
Soft
you're going to make
out.
It to the top? Because I played with one of the best players, Pirates development, best players. Then I'd be like, yeah.
Who did you come up with in the development? Senzo?
Senzo was a different class, but... it was quite a lot.
It was a lot.
I mean, it was set, and then when it got to a point where I was the only one left.
Oh, yes.
It was with development who played for the first team, you know? But, I mean, playing with Senzo was just amazing. It was one character. That guy was crazy. I mean, it was fun, you know? But he always motivated. He didn't care whether we were competing. I mean, he would tell you straight, that it's fine, your time will come, but for now you need to understand I'm the king, you know?
I'm number one.
And when that person says that, all he was saying to you is that just keep working hard and support the one that's playing.
Oh, yeah.
So that when the time comes, you're going to also get your chance, fairly, you know? So he was one of those guys. And I mean, with him, we shared quite a lot. Right?
Yeah.
Shared quite a lot.
You didn't share women? Nothing like that?
No, we didn't. Yeah, his taste.
Hey, don't go there.
I was about to say, that's why he's so long. That's Kuza. That's Kuza.
He was more of my senior because I mean within the group I was the youngest. One of the young guys. So for me it was always follow. Hey, I wanna see what these guys are doing. But to my mean, hey, when I'm bolanda, hey, when I remember at some point, hey, tolagala mina jalo ngiphetha amabhodlela, yimi ngiphetha ngiphetha, okay, you know, it's one of those.
Ukapela.
Yeah, I was the youngie there. They'll send me to do things and that was it, man.
Yeah. What did you think about his passing? Like, we still don't know what happened till this day, man.
Yeah, we bottom of that case.
It still haunts me. Until today, you know, because
even though the other players,
prior to that, I mean, I remember it was we played the IX game, the night before. He got injured, the subs were done. So I'm like, dressing room, why did you sit down knowing that the subs are done? I'm not gonna come in. So this guy, his response was like, I sent Katele, man, chance, I want you to show Mzansi what you have, you know. And then after the game, because we usually went out and do all our crazy stuff. So my mom was at the game. So prior to that, we disappeared, nonsense. No one knew where we went to. And, you know, search party, this and that. It's like, it's nyamalele, it's shining on my suit, it's getting down, it's keeping it place because it had the badge.
Yeah.
So salang on my hand, and everyone was looking at us like, I'm a bouncer, I'll be up on the bunch. So he disappeared. So that day after the game, he's like, Ndona. So we had already planned, it was Roy's birthday the next day, Roy Mahamud. So he's like, Ndona, pre-party nyana. My mom's like, when I foot you nyamala numtana mwena, yeah. So I'm like, Antoine, you know what? Let me drop off my old lady, then I'll call you. Like, but let's rest. I'll see you tomorrow. The next day, we at Roy's party, we're just chilling, actually, at Sunning Hill, go-karting and whatnot. He pulls through, obviously he was with Kelly at that time, so he saw Imotoga Mandisa, I was like, you have phone, Antoine, actually not. Minano Mandisa says great, so I don't want to cause any drama and anything. So I'm just going to go drop off Ukeli, and then I'll join you guys for the after party because we're going to Zone 6 venue. So I was like, no, man, come in, just greet. I mean, it's chilled, you know, Yabulis, and then you can leave, you can drop it off. Even if you leave Ekareni, it's fine, just greet. And then it's like, nah, I'll see you guys later. He left. And then when he got to Foslo, obviously we all left and like, oh, let's go change for the after party and everything. So while I'm at home, he calls me. He's like, Ndona, I'm about to leave now. So Hlangana, obviously, my sister joined so it's so sonke. No stress. Namings of Puma, no. Hang up, get dressed up, everything. After that, I get a call from a friend of mine. He's a cop. He's like, hey, Ndona, I want to tell you something, but I hope you're sitting down. Like, hey, dog, it's Kati. He's like, no, on a serious note, Ndona, Gwenzagale sona, sona, sona. So I'm like, what are you talking about? Because this guy just called me. He said he's on his way. So when he says that, I'm like, Gungeni call, my phone got sent. He take a little phone, lady man, sharp. Then Kelly's on the line, started crying, saying a whole lot of things, you know? I'm like, hey, what's happening? Bang it, I'm a cheater now. We all, it's buzzing. All drove down. Damn. And when you got there, started causing chaos. They wanted to go into the hospital. While we're pushing. And then that's when I could see, like, you know, from far, I could see he's laying, you know. Jeez. And I'm like, shit, I know it's out. That was it. Till today, I still have that picture.
Yeah, you can't forget, you know, about that.
I
can't. I tried. I can't, you know. And then leading to that, I mean, that whole week, it was insane. You know, it was insane, especially for me. The spotlight now was back to me to say, okay, you'll be replacing him.
Yes.
You know, and we haven't, mind you, we haven't even buried him. And everyone now is like, who's going to replace him? Oh, Brighton, this, that, and whatnot. You know, so everything just,
talking.
Everything just came. Now everyone started like, crowding me. 20 something.
Damn.
Yeah, bro, just I think 20, through, 23, 24, somewhere there. Damn. You know? So I'm like, yo, okay. And then we have to bury Senzo. After that, after the funeral, now I had like 5 days. I'm playing my first biggest game of my life. Mm. We're playing the semi-final, having to replace my friend. So, yo, that was in my that time. I was like, yo. So went on, had a decent game, but you know the most, you know, defining moment for me, which was very humbling experience, was when we played SuperSport. So after the game, the SuperSport guys, instead of them celebrating that they're going to the finals and whatnot, you know, these guys, they came to me, they embraced me, like, Ndwana, we know what you're going through.
Class.
Keep it going. Class. You know, for me, that was, I mean, it was amazing. The level of, I mean, it, besides the professionalism and, you know, the sportsmanship, but, you know, the humanity that they showed, you know.
Yeah, man.
That was super today. Of them. Yeah. So
they were great sport.
I mean, these guys, they've been.
Since you started. You can go. Sorry, man. Sorry.
Yeah, man. You know, so there was.
No wonder you drank, dog. Bruh. No wonder you drank.
I'd drink too.
Bro,
at
that age, bro.
Yeah.
What were you drinking?
Mind you, we're talking 2 years after I lost my dad.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, no, that's what
yeah,
I'm saying.
So, and then from there, Senzo was there for me. And we had this one goalkeeper coach who was crazy from Brazil. He was like a father to us. That guy was, yo, was amazing. Bro. So this guy, I remember at dad's funeral, was like, he used to be a joke. He's like, why are you crying? Like, what do you mean, why am I crying? Like, yeah, your father is gone, but you still have me. I'm your father here, you know?
Oh,
and then
man.
After Senzo, I mean, fast forward 2 years later, he passed on as well, you know? So then I felt like, these two guys that I had in my life that I felt like were there for me.
Your pillars.
Shucks.
What were you drinking, though? Boshan?
Almost everything. Though.
Nah, you're getting me a
one. Yeah, except the chuba. Chuba would die. That one I wouldn't.
Which one is chuba?
The chuba is ipachuchu.
Ipachuchu, dog. That hey, don't drink
don't know
and
ipachuchu.
Walk.
Those that come in cartons.
In cartons, yeah.
Like African beer slash.
Yeah. No, that one is imbamba.
Imbamba.
They're talking a foreign language, this one.
Grew up in the burbs. Parktown. Parktown vendor.
That was so yeah, Collins Gog is wap. I used to drink everything.
Whoa, man.
So it got to a point where it was a matter of as long as I'm getting drunk and numb and just pass out.
I've always found it weird. I never understood how soccer players could drink and play. Like when I heard Jabu Pula used to play drunk, I'm like, how? How is that even possible?
Dude,
That one is it was on another level. But with us, the only thing would happen would be once or twice you'd go to training sloshed. Like I remember there would be times where I wake up from not even like a Kong, Meng Pume Kong, it's hi, it's a Kalama Uta, beep. Yo, Ndwana, training.
Yeah.
We're training at 9. It's 8 o'clock, Ng Se Kong, Nya Pume Kong, Ng Salere Mse. Training is in Terfontein. There's no way I'm gonna go.
No,
you're going
so straight. Shoot straight to training. Get there, cold shower, Nya Ndwana. I said, right, Ndwana. Anjana Mislam. Like, I don't
know.
I don't know. That's Bangin. And you'd be surprised because, you know, I'm not saying it's the right thing.
For sure.
But when you get to training, when you know that, hey, anglalang, that's where you push the most.
Because
you don't want
to show.
Obviously, everyone knows that you were out and you're drunk. Now, the only thing that's going to cover you is that you need to put in the work.
Performance.
Yeah.
Have you ever played a game like hungover?
Never. Yeah, never. When it comes to my games, never. Like for me, it was a matter of, you know, I'd do it. You know, when you're still growing up, you're being naughty, man.
Of course.
And then you're like, but why did you do it? You know, after training, I'd be like, yeah, you had a good session, fine. But you're not going to get away with it for a long time, you know? So I'd be like, but why are you doing this? But when it comes to games, never.
Didn't it affect your marriage?
It did. It did. Because week in, week out, dog, you are. I love you.
Was this now the Senzo thing or it was just the lifestyle of a footballer?
I wouldn't for me, I don't think it's fair to say to blame it on the Senzo thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
For me,
I think it was a matter of acknowledging that I have a problem. Mm. So it was just a combination and a pileup of so many things, you know? Mm. So it was a pileup of, okay, sure, all the grief that you went through, it's fine.
Yeah.
And the lifestyle as well. You're playing for a big team. You're famous. You know?
Getting paid a lot.
Exactly. Mm. Oh, okay, that one.
We're not too sure. But Pirates, you were doing well.
I was. Yeah. I was.
See?
You know? So I think it was just a matter of acknowledgement. For me, that's how I turned my life around, to say, but when you're happy, you're drinking. When you said you're drinking, yeah. which is, pick your struggle, my guy. What are you saying?
Because hey, man, you're making me feel bad. But like, you know, we're alcoholics here.
No, we're not.
We must start an AA.
Hey, you know,
let me tell you, with you guys, it's different because you don't work with your body that much.
Oh, yeah.
You get my point. It's like with artists, you still get to perform.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes, for you,
it's part and parcel of whatever that you're doing,
yes,
you know, it's okay.
Yes.
You know, it looks good, actually.
It's for aesthetics.
You know, so for me, imagine me rocking up at a game, water break, I'm shying Cheyenne again.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
So for me, it was a case of saying, okay, most of the time I'd get injured and it'd take long to recover because of the drinking.
Yeah.
And ever since I stopped, I mean, there was one time when we were playing Kev, I had an MCL, ACL as well.
Yeah.
And then the doctors were like, if you're lucky, at first they were saying they're going to amputate. Ne? If I continue the rate that I'm going, because I'm not healing. And then the second part was that if you're lucky, after a year, you'll come back.
Mm.
And I was like, nah, I'm going to defy all odds. And I came back 7 months.
Mm.
7 months, the 8 months, I was playing again.
I've always wondered, when you're injured like that, do they pay you like during those 7 months?
Yeah, it depends on the team. Now, hey, these days, guys.
Oh, you're talking about your former team, ne?
Yeah, you didn't get paid for a while, man.
Yeah, what happened with your former team? They said you went AWOL for 3 months, ne?
Yeah, you weren't showing up, practice, nothing.
Fake news.
So, I was probably out of the country. I don't know. Yeah, but out of the country in Limpopo. You know, it happens, these things.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Like, you're in Limpopo, but you're out of the country. We don't know. But, like, disappearing or... You know, no, man. You know what happened? Like, I'll give you a brief background with regards to that. So, I got injured on the 7th of April.
April?
Yeah.
Last year?
Last year.
Okay.
So, went to the doctors, ophthalmologist, specialist, whatnot. Hey, when I even learned new words there. I didn't know there's this ophthalmologist.
Yeah.
What's this?
Oh, yeah.
So got there. They're like, hey, you can't play football anymore. Just like it. Like, okay, why? Oh, your retina snapped. You have a macular hold. This and that. If you get any concussion-related injuries now, actually, you are like you're supposed to be brain damage, blah, 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 a whole lot of things.
Wait. How did the injury happen, bro?
Yeah, retina. That's your eye, right?
Yeah, bro.
Yeah, so...
And your keeper, he's got to see.
Yeah, so it was a cross-cut back. I went to block, and then the striker just went full blast, close range.
Poor.
Eye, and the follow-through.
The follow... His foot or the ball?
The ball and the foot.
The ball and the foot.
Yeah, so I only had like just that large sound, then...
Can you
the
see me?
Sound, and
can
then
you see
it was
me?
Dark. Blocked this one. I'm lucky, you know, when I'm sitting here, I was happy because peripheral vision is good, actually, as opposed to direct line. So when I'm looking at there, I can't see anyone there.
You can't see it.
For real.
Now she's the real ghost, basically. That's the real ghost for me today. I'm like, okay, ghost, where are you?
Jesus.
So it's one of those. I'm using my right eye, basically.
So your eye got fucked.
Yeah, in a sense that it was. It went to like about my 25% vision, but now it's up. Now it's back. Aye, guys, not that bad.
It's
ramenga.
25% is like
nothing.
Oskino would ask, "We bona kanjani kuku?"
Bata kalboni.
Yeah, so.
We bona kanjani mbo. You need to go like close one eye like
I do the whole guys. go, man. You know?
Yes,
so yeah, man. So these guys, they.
Yeah. Hey, yo, I see like 75%. Nyabona, mina nyabona. Nyabona, I'm not blind, man. I can see.
Are you sure? So for me, if I were to take these off, I stress, dog.
So yeah, when your eye gets fucked, you think, okay, this is just a minor thing.
Yeah, exactly.
So even because I went to this hospital there, I was like, I know, Pulukwan, hi. I'm going back to Joe's.
Yes.
So obviously I was paying for my own medical bills, by the way.
Whoa. You
know, paying all of those things.
The team's supposed to pay.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm doing that. Mm. And I'm doing that because, you know, when you say something to someone and they downplay it, and I'm thinking, this is my livelihood. Yeah.
Exactly.
Thinking about my life. So I need to sort this thing out. Did everything from my own pocket. I'd informed the team.
And it's like not cheap, eh?
Yeah, I'd send them stuff, you know, send them everything. Like, yeah, this is what I've been doing. Even though they're not paying, but as my team, this is what I've been doing. Oh, okay, cool. Come consult this side, same thing. They're like, hey, dog, no, it's a mess. And in fact, you need to hurry up. You need to get at least 3 or 4 ops so that we can try and save. We're talking try and save your eye, you know? Like, okay. Then that's when I'm busy sending the team, you know, invoices, quotations, medical reports, everything, you know? So to my thinking, they're probably saying, oh, they're only taking that part that says he's no longer going to play. Why do we care? That's my thinking, you know? It was basically that because ever since, that month, the April, was the last month where I got paid in accordance to my contract.
Yeah.
That was the last time, up until I instituted like legal proceedings and so forth. You know, I always had to fight for my money. I always had to fight for everything.
Jeez.
And mind you, that time, I'm doing up and down. Based there, I get to training preseason. I don't have a kit. In fact, they took my jersey number. They're like, I know, Sika, I'll make you. Without even telling me anything. I just got to training, I don't have a kit, my jersey number, they assigned it to someone. I'm like, okay, cool, I'll still show up. I still went to training, the 3 months that they're talking about.
With all this happening?
Yeah, I'm posting on Insta, I'm with the guys for the game, supporting them. In fact, I remember prior to the suspension, we went to Cape Town from my own pocket. I flew down to Cape Town to support the guys at Stellies. They were playing against Stellenbosch.
And you didn't have to?
I didn't have to.
Yeah.
So I went there just for the love of the game. Mind you, I was the vice captain. So I was like, as long as the guys see me there, at least, you know.
Yeah.
And for me as well, when I'm sitting at home, I'm getting all depressed again.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want to go back to that thing, dog. Hey,
the bottle is going to kill me this time.
So I went there. Few days after that, when he came back from Cape Town, hearing, suspension. I get to the hearing. This guy, I was with him at Stellies. They asked him the question, like, so are you saying you've never seen this player for 3 months? Like, nope. Like, dude, are you serious? I looked at him like, I know about Tangsabo and Amehlang. If it's been killed now, we're in Cape Town. And he's like, no. You know?
He couldn't see him.
Yeah. I was like, no. Like, so I'm thinking, I'm starting to question my eyes. And I'm like, hi, bro.
Yeah, because you were there.
Yeah.
John Cena.
Hey. So
John not seen anyone with 25% vision.
And it's funny, though, because I have all the evidence when I went to the hearing. I'm like, guys, I've been posting. I'm with you guys
in the games,
and everything.
It's documented.
So these guys, what happened was they... All the legal proceedings, obviously, what they were doing is they'll be like, okay, no, let's settle out of court. And then they default. Settle out of court. So they defaulted like twice. So now the last one was like, we're not going to pay. The money keeps accumulating and whatnot. And then they're like, you know what? We don't want to pay this guy. Let's just hoy something and say maybe AWOL or something. And then we fire.
PR campaign.
Yeah, you know, and then that's when I got to the hearing, you could see it was constructive dismissal.
Of course,
you know?
Yeah.
So when I got there, even with the evidence that I produced, they're like, no, the finding is dismissal. That's how they terminated the contract.
Jeez. Okay, but now I understand that the PSL does pay an insurance amount for permanent injury while you're playing.
Yeah.
How much is that, and did you get it?
I don't know anything about that.
I heard 4 million.
I don't know anything about that.
So you don't know that the PSL...
There's obviously, there is the insurance. They're busy with all of those things. Mm. But I don't know how they get to calculate to those amounts and whatnot. So I cannot speculate on, you know, hearsay, because someone will say it's 5 million, someone will say it's this and that, you know. So we don't have like the insurance, you are covered by the teams, right? So the teams are the ones that institute the claim on your behalf.
But who pays the premiums?
The premium is the team.
Oh.
Yeah, so they're the ones who know the rules as to, okay, this is how the payout is going to be. And mind you, with the payout, it's always a case of the team gets half, the player gets half. And then if the team, they out of goodwill or whatever, they can give you all the money.
They should, technically.
Well, not technically.
But
because the rule says 50-50. That's how it says. I don't know anything about that. Hence, I don't even dwell on it. You know, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, hey, it's something that I don't even know about it.
So it's even possible that the PSL has, that insurance has paid, and the team just keeps the money.
I don't know. I doubt though. I doubt because.
Jeez, man, your team, bro.
Well, it's one of those, man.
Are they trying to claim the money, a part of it also? Because I believe it should come all to you.
They're probably doing that. You'll never know. You know, so with I mean, in my case, I always, I mean, even prior to the whole DC hearing, I mean, mind you, I got injured on the 7th of April, and people only found out about this after a couple of months.
Yeah.
You know, I've been quiet about it because I was professional enough. I mean, they even sent me to interviews where people would ask me, like, Ndwana,
what's going on?
Is the team treating you well and whatnot? And on record, I'd go on and protect the team and be like, no, everything's good. The support has been amazing and whatnot. So I was shocked. I was doing it out of a good heart.
Yeah, from your profession.
Yeah. And I mean,
you just lost an eye.
I mean, I've been in football for over 16 years now, you know, so I feel like I've seen all these things. And the best thing to do sometimes is just to make sure that you put the team first, you know? That's what we normally do. So,
damn.
When they came to me with a charge sheet that says putting the team into disrepute.
Hey, I like. They love that one.
Disrepute. You heard it.
That's funny. It sounds nice. Yeah,
you heard it.
You know, English, putting the team into disrepute.
Yeah.
It sounds nice. But then my question was, can you please clarify? Because now in my defense statement, I'm busy going charge by charge, right? So when I get to the disrepute, I'm like, okay, I cannot defend on something that I don't know. Can you please at least
elaborate,
put some instances, you know, instances where you say, here, I put the team into disrepute, because I went as far as saying, I went to interviews when I had initially said, I don't want to do any interviews. You as a team, you sanctioned those interviews. And I went there and spoke on your behalf and didn't say or do anything
when you
where I could have.
Yeah.
So instances till today, I'm still waiting for that response, by the way.
So basically what you're saying is soccer players are like it girls. You're only good when you're hot.
Definitely.
Once you stop playing,
it's a mess. It's a mess. It's basically.
So you're it boys.
Basically. That's it.
It boys.
Because when you're no longer playing, they don't give a fuck about you, bro.
Yeah. When you can't make the money anymore, it's not
some,
good.
Some teams, crazy, honestly speaking, I think. It's just on an administrative perspective, there are teams that are doing, you know, they are doing well, you know, making sure that their teams are well taken care of. You look at other teams when you retire, they already have a post for you.
Oh, like, so it's not standard procedure for every team.
No, it's not standard procedure. So
it's just that your former team.
Yeah, it's just that, hey, these other teams, you know, they have that thing whereby they're still stuck up on those. No.
Bro, I wanted to find out, what's your ritual before you play? Because I saw, you know what Ronaldo's ritual is?
No.
He kisses his shin pads and he's got a face of him before he goes on onto the field.
So mine, before I leave the hotel, kneel down and pray.
Oh, wow.
Oh, and then, hey, beautiful. Beautiful.
Yeah, man. And then it doesn't end there. We get to the dressing room, hold my jersey, pray. Get to the, before the pitch inspection, before we go into the game, you know, when we do our walkabouts, keep it quiet, wear us, shine a headphone.
Called
the pitch inspection.
Pitch inspection.
You play there week in, week out, but you want to inspect the pitch. One of those, like, pitch inspection.
Trip check.
I told you, some things, they sound nice, you know, when you say them, like, pitch inspection. This chat, but I was training there, by the way, yesterday. But today I pitch inspection.
And you got the beats headphones.
Yeah. So before pitch inspection, touchline, I'm gonna pray for the pitch as well. Say everything must go well because some freak injuries. You're like, hey, how did it happen? You know, sometimes it's just you don't know these evil forces that you're fighting.
Anything
you know,
can happen, yeah.
So pray there, and then before the start of the game, I kneel down on my goalpost. I always have these, these cameramen, they're amazing, these guys. I always have these pictures where I'm kneeling down, goal line, praying for the goalpost as well for a good game, a clean sheet, all those things. So those were my rituals.
But that one is dangerous because people might think you're putting something on the goalpost or whatever.
If it doesn't apply to you, why do you get affected? For me, you can think whatever. It doesn't apply to me. I've always been a man of prayer. And we do all these funny things. So,
bro, what would you be your ritual, bro?
My ritual?
Yeah, like let's say you're a footballer.
Ooh, I need to get ass, bro.
Where are we going to camp?
Ronaldinho printed did that.
Yeah,
I think I'd be that kind of
guy. You got some bumps in Pretoria.
They used to with Brazil.
Ronaldinho got bumps in Pretoria.
Yeah, when Barcelona came to play here.
Yeah?
Yeah, he was at a strip club in Pretoria getting bumps.
He was at, what's that place, the famous one? It's closed now. What in? In? Capital In!
Yeah!
For real! Ronaldinho!
You know that story, right?
No, I don't.
Yeah! Something new. Barcelona was here.
No, with South African football, there's always this whole thing of camp before the game. You know, you need to camp. It's a mass. So, I guess the reasons it's mainly for that.
You guys have never snuck in someone during camp.
Bro, I know what the hotels is lit.
I'm putting.
I'm getting a snack. Don't lie.
Snack.
Brighton. Don't lie.
I'm
snack.
About what?
In the hotel, you know it goes down.
It goes, what are you saying?
I'm saying, yeah, exactly. You bring them to the hotel.
Yeah. Dog, there's times where everybody's sleeping, coach is sleeping, everybody.
Everyone.
Nah, but it can't be before the game, dog.
Okay, so yeah, on it's other
one
nights.
Of those. Yeah, after the game, it's always a case of we won. Let's celebrate.
Yes. Yeah. What better way to celebrate?
All those things would happen, Yeah, after the game.
Mm. What but about weed? Can you smoke weed and still play soccer?
No, I mean, with that one, it's very tricky because there's this WADA, the anti-doping sports agency.
Yeah.
That one actually is a mess.
Oh, they check even for weed.
For everything. Even alcohol. you could be having allergics. Allergics is a banned substance, by the way.
For real?
Oh, yeah, banned substance. Asthma pumps, banned substance.
Yo.
Ferdinand got banned. Ferdinand got banned. He took one of his wife's pills or whatever.
Yeah.
And
he
got banned for like a few months.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. Even now, there's this guy from Cameroon who played for Ajax, the goalkeeper. He took his wife's pills by mistake or swapped or whatnot.
Oh, damn.
And the agency actually acknowledged as well that, no, this was an honest mistake, but rules are rules.
Yes. Like,
okay, yeah, we'll give you 9 months. It's fine.
So sign your tab.
Yeah.
Sign your tab.
But the list changes every year. So these ones are the ones probably from last year. Now that I'm no longer active, hey, maybe Batine, Watuati, Penelin, maybe. You never know. Next thing you remember now, they're like.
Not for flu.
About the next thing you remember now, but when you are sick, Shamshonyan was over right. That's the only thing to do now.
So you retired now? What's the plan now? What are we doing?
Medically.
Yeah.
Medically.
Okay.
Medically, I am retired.
Sure.
Medically. Mm-hmm. So right now, we're still dealing with all the due diligence, obviously, the paperwork, and obviously the fighting with this former team and whatnot.
Bro,
so once we're done with that, I believe now it's in the advanced stages. Once we're done with that, then finally, I can be free and be ready to set up my CVs and fuck a pick and pay. They call me back. They call me back. For an interview, if you can pay, maybe so pack my shelf in. You never know.
You must come
job
here.
Is a job.
Nah,
job
man.
Is a job.
You must come here. We need a boom operator.
He's tall enough.
Yeah, very tall. I'm
like, I already 27. Did I?
Nah, come through. There's a place for you. You know? Man.
Yeah, man. So yeah. For now. Obviously, medically, they said I can't play football due to the risk. And Nami, I wouldn't take that chance.
Yeah.
It's all about my life at the end of the day.
Exactly.
You've got kids as well, man.
Much as this is the only thing that I've known my entire life, by the way. I've never done anything apart from playing football. So
on FIFA, do you play as yourself? Do you replace the keeper and put yourself in.
Oh, yeah.
I used to do that. I used to do that. Yeah.
Till he lost 700 goals. You're like,
you know, one time it happened. I'm chilling with the guys who are playing. But I quick ones. I want to check the reaction from the guys. I'm like, one guy was like, I put I'm with some change about for the whole I got to the
when you like you blind.
I mean on FIFA my ratings I was on like what 63. I was on 63 rating, you're thinking 63. And you know FIFA, you know what they do? FIFA, hey, they don't respect us. African. They give you a goalkeeper. I train with nice shorts. I play with nice shorts, you know, color coordinated, my kick is nice and sleep.
Fresh, yeah.
And then I get to FIFA, they give me these old long pants. No,
you know,
and then Brighton is trying to jog there. Yes, sir, these things are heavy. How is he gonna die with this thing? I'm like, guys, can you please change this thing? And you can't even edit the keys. I'm like, these things are heavy, guys. I can't dive. I can't reach top corner. So it was an excuse for me. I'm like, guys, but have you seen me playing with these long pants?
Yeah.
These things are heavy, guys. I'm so skinny, I'm wearing these. Heavy things. Ah, no, guys, come on.
No, FIFA, so, no. You gotta do bright by Brighton.
No, man,
yeah,
they can't. FIFA, they need to change that. But yeah, man, I'm just looking forward now to the whole transition now. And obviously, coming to that transition, the main important thing as well is to try and motivate these young ones as well. You know,
yeah.
I mean, for me, I think I stand in a very good position to say, look, I've been there. I know what you're going through.
Yeah. Yes,
1, 2, 3 is not the right way. Mm. I'm not saying don't do it. But I know, I've seen this chapter before. I know how this book ends.
Dude, and then at 30, how old are you now?
Just turned 31 last month.
Bro, that's young for goalkeeper.
Yeah.
Look at Buffon, dog. Look at Buffon. Buffon is still playing.
I was about to say, I had told myself that, yo, I want to shatter his record.
Mm.
I was thinking I'm going beyond 45. I'm going beyond, you know.
You can, bro.
You know,
yeah,
so that's what I was thinking.
Bro, like,
but I'm going to play social league. I'll still keep my
five
record.
Aside.
Yeah, because now the dog said, I said, ah, dog, at least, man, can I head gear? And I was like, no. If you're going to play, just make sure you play infield, not in goals, and just avoid.
Infield. Like,
I mean, the doctor went as far as saying, even if when you go clubbing, don't go crazy and bang your head against. So I was like, nah, I've done it there. Yeah, so I can't be doing all of those things. So I need to make sure that even the fight, McG, Young Nyatel, hard out here.
You know those vibes. And then they hold your back.
Yes,
like,
no, I know that.
So,
Nyatel.
Yeah, so.
You just bump into him and he bumps into you.
Yeah, so.
Oh, they're ready by the belt.
Yeah.
Oh, that shit is emasculating.
Yeah, so with me, Young Nyatel, you mean so I'm going to apologize.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm going to mistake. I'm going to. It's like I'm going to. I'm going to. I'm going to. So I'm born fairly. So it's one of those. But other than that, man, I'm just taking it easy.
Do you have coaching badges?
No.
Okay.
No.
So you're not thinking about getting into coaching?
Not yet. I'm still too attached to the game.
So
to a point that I don't want to be coaching these young kids, poor kid now. When I tap on it, I'm not because I'm still too attached.
Yes.
You know? I don't want to do that.
Yes.
I want to get to the phase where I've dealt with this. You know, because I'm dealing with it and I'm doing well, I believe, you know.
Yeah.
So I want to get to a point where I feel like I've shut that door behind me. Now I'm moving forward. So if I'm saying I'm going to be a coach, we see Brighton has done this and that. It's fine. As a footballer, what are you going to offer us now as a coach? That's the kind of coach I'd want to be. Who's going to implement change?
Which coaches did you fuck with? Which coaches did you like? Gavin
Hunt,
definitely.
Let's fix the fellow with you. I'm a question. Let's fix the which coach did you fuck with? Next thing I'm miscoached. Like, okay.
All right. Oh, no, in a good way. Like, which coach did you like?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sure.
Like, I fucks with this coach. No, I get you. He's right, though.
Yeah, he is.
He's right.
Man.
It's a double and not a trunda. He's up there.
Oh, my God.
Bella, man, you are just posted now. I'm with McG. Everyone's like, yo. Wasuga dog, you know. So now I need to be on some. No, man. All my coaches were amazing. Mm. Lucky enough, they were good. Obviously, they had their crazy side of things and whatnot. But honestly speaking, as a goalkeeper, you get to develop a good relationship with your goalkeeper coach because the whole week, you know, most people don't understand that we train separately.
Yes,
with the team.
Yes.
Goalkeepers, they have their own specific training. So you get to develop that relationship with the goalkeeper coach more than the head coach, you know?
Mm.
So I had quite a few. I mean, Tyron Demons now, shout out to him. He's doing good things in Tanzania. He's coaching, what's this team? Simba. It's a big team in Tanzania.
Oh, yeah, South African guy.
South African guy.
They're always in the Champions League.
Yeah, they're always in the Champions League, by the way. Simba, he's a good, good goalkeeper coach. You know, he's down there. And then Gavin Hunt. Definitely, I have to mention that guy. Mainly because that guy, you know, the character that I have today. It's because of him. Gavin is one guy. You'll play Man of the Match today. Rock up and be like, dressing room, with your trophy. I'm not even big guy.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, give him all the other ones.
Like, so you're many, So you really fucked with Gavin.
Yeah, so it's like, and then
and
look at it.
And look at him.
He'd look at it. He'd look at it and be like,
Kavim. He loves Kavim. We're no fans of Gavin.
Yeah, I know.
They hunt to Kavim, guys. As soon as they get the cars, they hunt to Kavim.
So that's why. So it look up. It look at your trophy and be like, fucking hell, son. Do you think you deserve this?
Mm. Wow.
No chance. No, I'll tell you, no chance. You were horrible.
Whoa!
You were bad. In fact, you were supposed to be a plumber or a farmer.
Yo,
and next game, he wouldn't play you. He'd put you in the grandstands, and he'd still greet you. Same attitude, joke with you and everything. Mind you, Lapo, you pissed. Next game after that, back to the starting lineup. You know what he's going to say? Look at him. Ah, oh, he's brilliant. Look at him. He's amazing. So working with that guy, it kind of gave me that, you know.
He was bringing you down to earth.
Down to earth. And at the same time, you develop that thick skin. Mm. You'd know that you take anything. Any criticism, you'll take it, you know. So that's one guy who taught me how to embrace criticism as much as you cherish praise. Wow. So that guy would give you that thing where you feel like, when you feel like you're the ish, like... You can watch the team play. No big players around Gav. No big players.
Maybe that's why they need to, you wouldn't answer that, but maybe that's why he didn't survive at Chiefs.
Who?
Because it's Gavin.
Oh, Gavin.
Because it's big egos, big everything.
You can't drop the kune.
No, those tactics work at Vets, at, you know, like, Stars or whatever. Not the
Vets
Chiefs.
Vets was a big team.
Vets was a big team, though.
With big
players.
Let's
be honest.
I mean,
but no,
Gav,
he could, have superstars.
If he could do it with, I mean, he could do, he won the league with players that were solid. You know, he had your Steven Pinas there. He coached big players.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah,
big egos.
Big egos.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair
it's
enough.
Just a mental.
Yo, but that nigga's been coaching since I was a kid, man. That nigga's been around.
Yeah, him has been around.
Most people don't even know that he's the one who gave Benny McCarthy, you know, his professional run.
You know, Roger Dassault was charming my PE teacher.
Roger Dassault was charming your PE teacher.
Yeah, at Fairways.
At Fairways,
yeah. I didn't know what was happening, but now I know.
Hey, Roger Dassault. Was she hot?
Yeah, she was.
Peace. Female PE teachers are always hot.
Yes.
White women have legs.
Yes.
With their, legs. Yeah. I remember Mr. Castro.
Yeah.
In primary school.
Yeah.
PE teacher. She was like in her 40s. Oh, yeah. But legs for days. One of those teachers you'd wait in the stairs so that they go up when you see underneath the skirts. Yeah. Sorry, we digress.
She came to. He came during one
he
of.
He came inside of her.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Whoa!
Whoa! What are you saying, man? He was like, I'm coming, Roger that! She was like, yeah, Roger that!
No, I was saying he came to one of her classes.
Yeah.
And we're playing soccer, so I give him his first big break.
You know, Roger was one of the few guys, or if not the only one, who represents South Africa in three different sports.
For real?
Yeah, I think football. Hockey, basketball.
Roger Dassault?
Definitely basketball. Yeah, yeah. Roger Dassault represented the country in three different sporting codes.
I didn't know.
He wouldn't. I'm schooling him also.
I didn't know.
But in three different sporting codes, I'm getting one wrong.
He's a world travel
coach.
But
definitely, basketball, he played football, he played for the country, and basketball and some other sport.
Yeah, isn't he Egypt now? He was coaching
Egypt.
Yeah,
he's assistant coach for
Al Ahly.
No, Egypt. National team.
The national,
you say Al Ahly. Everyone now is Al Ahly.
Al Ahly is Egypt, though. Al Ahly is the Egypt key. I would love
to. Speaking about Egypt, how crazy was that their goalkeeper during the AFCON?
Yeah, he was
Kapuza.
Kabuzo's at Super Sports.
Oh man, who was the guy? Kabrizi.
Something like that.
Egyptian keeper.
Yeah, that guy was good though. The Houston keeper is good, bro.
I know he has a huge fan. Nkabuza has a huge fan.
Kapaski!
Kapaski! Kapaski!
I mean, he did well. I mean, come to think of it, it was the second choice. You're like, yo.
Whoa!
I mean, you see? Competing with the captain there.
Did you see on his squeeze bottle?
Yeah.
He had where each penalty taker was going to most likely to shoot.
Yeah.
Smart.
On the squeeze bottle. You didn't see that?
Preparation.
Yeah. He used to do that all the games when they went to penalties. He did that.
Wow.
Do you do that?
No.
You don't do that?
No.
You don't study the players? How
I study the players.
But
like I'll tell you, most of the PSL games or most of the PSL guys, I know them. So what I'd do is I'd already know that, okay, this one, his technique, he likes to swing. Most of the time he'd go, let's say, to the left or to the right of the time. So that's how I used to see.
Who gave you like a tough time as a player? Like that you know that if I'm playing against this guy
in a match or penalties?
Match.
Sure. Bruh, Jeremy Brockie.
That guy from Supersports. Yeah. New Zealander guy.
We've got a New Zealand playing in SA.
Yeah, you don't know. Jeremy Brockie.
He was solid. He went back to New Zealand. He was solid, that guy. That guy was the sniper.
Yeah.
That's where he got his name. So this guy, every time, what he'd do, he'd always go to the blind side. He's not those strikers who go towards the ball where you can see them. Every time, he always peel off, go to the blind side. Next time they play across, he's alone. Boom. Volley. He was solid. Technique.
Bernard Parker?
No. Parker.
I'm trying to act like I know Chief.
I mean,
yeah, I can see you. Last time I was about to ask him, Jeremy Brockie went to the blind side before you had a blind side.
Actually. So imagine now. Imagine now when they're forcing me to go play. Now that they're forcing me to go play. And I'm thinking, hey, it's a rap power. That was like,
You know what I do?
You know how the goalpost is? I already stand to the left and just try and open the right. Like, just like, actually, no, because now you're standing to the left, and then imagine if they score on the right. Everyone be like, what we are born, I got right again. So, no, 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 just open the left, because I'll have that excuse. My core
up. Yeah.
I'm going to have a chance. I'm going to have a chance. So you can imagine, you know. So I mean, it's funny because everyone would have expected Uhlompho Kekana with the rockets that he was. Whenever he played Sundowns, I'd be like, whenever he receives the ball, like, close down. I don't care whether he's in his goal pose, like, close him down. Because you know everything that's coming from Uhlompho, yo, rocket.
Yeah.
Rocket. Yeah. I remember there was one time Shaw Senzo and any rocket, Senzo Shaw cramp same time. He was cramping up. I was like, hey, Senzo.
Yeah.
Like, I'm done. So we're sitting there after the game. So this is about in Portuguese, goleiro, goalkeeper. Like, hey, goleiro. Goleiro. Hey, yasha lendota. So luckily, I was with Hlompho not so long ago. We're doing some launch. So they ask him a question like, out of all the goalkeepers in PSL, so I show back gorilla, but this one. I never scored this one. I was like, oh, at least I have something to show to brag about. Wow, like, Hlompho never scored me. Because, hey, landed at
Mayfela. Besuma? Did you ever play against Besuma?
Yeah, he scored me once.
Damn, yo, dog, you playing Besuma? How old are you, fam?
Been in the game, bro.
Besuma! Besuma! Yo, damn, bro.
I mean, I played with Coach Benny now. It's weird when I say Coach. Yeah. Coach Benny.
Benny.
Coach, Coach Munib. Yeah. It doesn't sound right. I'm like, hey, Kati. I used to call him Ked. Hey, Kati. Dan Clay. You know, all these guys were my teammates. Mm. And now they're coaches. I'm like, yo, I know. And like, how old am I? I need to ask my parents.
Yeah.
But then like, I can figure it out.
Oh, is that your soccer age, 31?
I want to lay after text 31. After text.
Yeah. After text 31. I'm going wrong.
Yeah.
So, okay.
After text 31. So if you so add, I don't know. I ask for fit. But no, that's my real
age.
Played
against them?
Tau? Percy. Oh, yes. Percy.
Yeah, I played against Percy. Never scored me as well. I mean, luckily, when I played against him, he was still mild.
Yeah, but then again.
We've had Tekum Reese on the show. Great guy.
Yeah. Amazing guy. I played against him many times.
Oh, you didn't play with him? He
no, he left. When I got promoted to the senior team, he just left for Sundowns.
Anyway, before you go, man, Bafana Bafana, do you guys get paid like when you get called
up?
Okay.
You get paid there are teams. I, for instance, at Pirates, there's a clause in your contract to say you go to the national team, you get And then obviously there's a, there's the allowance for the camp.
Okay.
National team, the duration of the camp, and the match bonus is based on, if it's a draw, it's half. If it's a win, it's the full amount.
Yeah.
So you do get paid, national team.
Hey, what did you think about that Ghana game? Because we didn't make it to the AFCON because of that Ghana game.
Yeah.
Dubious, is that the word?
Yeah, dubious. Dubious, yeah, dubious. Dubious penalty.
And we had just traveled from Ghana the week before, remember?
Yeah.
Some chiller tweeted me like, hey, look at your people.
Nah, man, obviously, we all felt hard done.
Yeah,
we felt hard done by that and felt like we could have at least something, Yan. I mean, you know, it shows when you play away. Hey, guys, it's not easy. These African teams, when you go play there, yo, it's tough.
But you've played for the national team.
Yeah.
And the standard of football, man, from the Dr. Khumalo era.
Yeah, show him, show him, show him. Bring the thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You see, we can't even put your crop, your generation of players here.
Oh, the spice.
What happened?
Look at this.
You see this team? You see this team? You see this team, man? This is the...
Hey!
Like one of the only national teams
in Neil Tovey.
Yeah.
Mark Williams.
Oh. Yes, definitely.
Mark Fish.
Andre Aronson.
Lucas Khatebe.
Your coach, Tinkler.
Yo!
Guys.
I don't know the rest.
That's Mark Fish, Lucas Khatebe, Linda Mtelezi, Eric Tinkler, Neil Tovey, Sizwe Mtaung, Philemon Masinga, Mark Fish, Dr. Khumalo, like, Mark Williams, Shoes Mushuewu, and the one and only Leeds legend.
We should have Lucas on the show.
So when you guys are training and camp, what is the spirit? What's the behavior? What's the attitude? Because from us at home, it looks like you guys just don't care, bro. You're at the top level representing the whole country, all of us.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm wrong, but it's just like you guys are not willing to die for this team.
No, you're allowed to see it that way because that's what you see from the outside. I mean, like I said earlier on, first and foremost, no one goes into a game and say, nah, snap, I'm going to lose this game. Mm. And especially at the highest honor, representing your country, bruh, the nerves that you get, like singing that national anthem, knowing that you're representing millions out there, it's something else. You know, you put up, that. I remember even with me, a night before, I remember Cheikh Mashab would announce the starting lineup the night before, right? So here I am, we're playing against Ghana. I'm going to start that game. I'm like, yo, I'm already practicing in my room. How game face in the national anthem? How's it going to be?
Wow, yeah, man.
I'm not going to laugh, you know? Like, so you psych yourself up, you know, for all those things. Sometimes, however, things happen in football where, especially when you play the game in your mind, most successful coaches always tell you, don't visualize. Don't play the game in your mind. Play the moment. As soon as you step into the field, your first touch, this
situation.
And that. Because as soon as you like in your bed, then in camp, you're like, and don't make a shy save and I bam distribution. Yo, and don't crowd in. Already your mindset is gone.
You know what I think? You know what I think what the problem is? Yeah. I could be wrong, because I don't watch, like I said, I don't watch local football that much.
Yeah.
But I feel like you guys got it too young, too early. Too much money, too many women. Too many clubbing.
Yeah.
There's no hunger. That's what I think. Just my personal opinion.
You could be correct, but not to be hard on the guys as well is that we're forgetting the mentorship around there. You know, I think the mentorship is not there in a sense that, okay, it's not my fault that I'm getting it at a young age.
Oh, yes.
You know?
You didn't choose that.
Who's there to guide me through it?
You've been doing your best,
We need someone who's going to guide you through it to like, look, this is how we go about it. Most our European counterparts, they have all of that at a young age.
Yes.
By the time they get there, it's nothing new to them.
Yes,
you know? What role do player agents, because I've heard of like your Mark McCabe's, you know, local player agents. What role do they have with that? Now, here you are, you're 19, maybe you're getting 200K a month or 100K.
Yeah.
Don't they play a role? Who should be playing that role?
They do, but it comes from within as well. And it's not enough. For instance, I'd say it's not enough because you need to know the kind of people that you're talking to. If I know that you're hard-headed, what's going to happen? Am I going to say it once and then I'll be like, he'll figure it out? No, I need to drill it in. You get my point? So with us here, it's a case of saying, I told him. That's
in fact,
it. I told him, but we don't see
you. Hey, Ghost,
are you
here?
No. Actually, no, the point that you're making is that In fact, you don't even have to think too
far. Turn your head around.
Yeah.
Look that way. Yeah. Yeah, can you see it?
There, yeah, 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 yeah. So you don't even have to think like overseas.
Yeah.
If you just think of the sports like your rugby, your cricket, I think the mentorship that side is far better. You
foundation.
Get, yeah, the foundation and everything. And obviously it's just the structure. When you look at the team, the guys are structured. Everyone is...
Yeah.
80%, 90% of the team, like of the guys, are just doing well.
Yes.
Whereas the soccer guys, it's always, they end up on I blew it, you know, and it's always, it's the story becomes similar.
Yeah.
Like, it's just reckless living and all of these things.
So I think it's exploitation in soccer.
Mm.
But the foundation that also, is it like because of maybe as black people, we don't have the proper structures and...
I love how you're putting it. It's 100% that because we get to a point that we're always talking about breaking generational curses.
For sure,
right?
for sure.
But then we're not implementing anything to break those curses.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
It's just a matter of saying, yeah, but how many times have you heard people making reference or examples with Jabubule till today?
Yeah.
Hey, you get my point.
I did one today.
You get my point.
Oh, yeah, you
get my point. Whereas he worked so hard and he's successful now. Mm. His story, I mean, he did so well to become the person that he is. Yes. I mean, an ambassador at SuperSport and whatnot.
You're right.
But now,
we only remember
that. Yes. And we're not implementing to say, okay, Jabu, what can you do to help?
He is doing that.
Yeah, but it's not enough. Is he getting the enough platform to do that at a bigger scale? Mm. Is he getting enough platform? Don't say he's helping when I'm going to take him to a well-established team. Let's take Jabu to the schools, you know, because we're dealing with what? These young ones, right? They see you as a prominent figure. And the only thing that they know every time the example is, but when they see me as a successful, prominent figure who's standing up and saying, I was once there, that's what I'm doing now to say, hey, guys, but right now, I managed to pull myself out of that. Not only because I think I'm better, but no, because I went through certain phases. Because we always shy away from the truth. With us here in South Africa, we shy away from the truth to say, I got help by doing 1, 2, 3.
Mm.
And I'm not shy about it to say, hey guys, I went to certain extent where I felt like, yo, I know. It's bad.
Mm.
But I came out of that.
Mm.
Why are we not getting those platforms to say, okay, here's a success story. Here's a testimony. This guy has to tell the way it is, as opposed to us hiding it and saying, example, looks like or nai. We're talking about footballers dying in car accidents and whatnot every time and again. What are we doing to implement measures that will cap that a bit to say, okay, no, you know what? Now there's a rule. For example, I know my guys are going to kill me for the after the game, camp again. You'll be released the next day, during the day. You know all those kind of things?
That can work. Money and lives.
You know, that can work. Mm. So what are we always, and it happens that today, someone dies, car crash, we talk about it, hey, but footballers and this and that. You know, we took to point fingers for a week, right? And then after they bury him, it dies down. You're not going to hear anything about it after that. It's gone. So it's basically, to answer your question, it's just a matter of saying, do we have any measures that are implemented to say, okay, now we need to teach our footballers how to handle media pressure, the fame, this and that. Are we doing that? No.
But the thing is, if you do that, then now you're taking food out of people's mouths. Because football is a big industry, right?
which people?
Like the agents, all these people. Yeah. They make money from footballers, even the clubs, you know, like your former team, right? So now if you educate you, that's now taking money from me. Because if you know how to handle your money, I'm fucked. How am I going to eat? So we need to state like this.
Someone is profiting from your ignorance.
Yeah. That's what I think.
But that's always the case. Someone always profits from someone else's ignorance.
Because imagine, it's a simple thing, dog.
Yeah.
All former players, even you yourself, you've retired now.
Yeah.
Even current players. It's easy. You don't need a platform. You can organize a football committee or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, like they do in Mosquito and Christos and
Fresh.
The DJU. Where they teach people about, you know, producing whatever.
Yes.
Which is why we're seeing a whole lot of producers from SA.
Yeah.
Because of a movement like that.
Yeah.
So you do the same with soccer players. Teach them about money, finances, how to handle whatever, whatever.
Okay.
But then now you're killing a whole other industry of exploitation of footballers.
But then what happens if those industries, they're not contributing FACO?
They never are, though.
What do you mean? I don't understand. No.
In a sense that, let's say you're talking about, there are other football agents who only appear when you're about to sign a contract.
Sure.
And then they sign down the contract.
Yeah, those are the guys that I'm saying that.
And then he's going to get his dough, like you say, right? Yes. After that, he's gone.
But that's what I'm saying.
So my frustrations, you brought me to this team. I'm not playing. This and that. Where are you when I need you? Hey, iKhoks lami livulekile lithe. What's happening with my soccer boots?
He got his paycheck.
All those kind of things. So what happens to those? Are we saying it's okay for them to get his 10% procurement fee? And then that's it. He doesn't care about the player. Because in most cases, I promise you, in South Africa, that's the case. We get a player who's destined for greater things. He signs for this agent. This agent then goes on to negotiate a deal for himself.
Done.
Not for the player.
Done.
That's
then
what I was saying.
From there, when he signs that contract, he's gone. Like, you call the agent, I'm in a meeting. I'll call you back just now. Get back to you just now. I'll be there with you. I'll be there with you. And that's it.
But if he had the knowledge of what he has of being an agent and you don't need to rely on him and you do it in-house, then that's money away from him.
Exactly.
Because now you have the knowledge.
That's where people are going now. I mean, now in the modern football, that's why you see most players like your Neymar's is being managed by his dad. You know, all these, that's where it's
and
going
And it's a company.
Now.
Have you seen the documentary?
And the teams.
I've seen it on Netflix. I just got a rate Neymar, so I didn't give it.
I mean, all the teams now, they want to go away with this whole thing of dealing with the middleman.
Certain, yes.
Yeah, because now if we deal with the middleman says this, and only to find that he's the stumbling block. I want to go play for you.
Sure.
But my manager is saying, no.
Because Kaiser Chiefs is offering
what
more
he
money.
Wanted or this and that. You get my point.
That's the
now
problem.
You find
managers.
That most transactions, the deals, they're just business transactions as opposed to your livelihood, your footballing career, your development as a footballer. You know, so that's what happens.
Your mental health.
Exactly. Because that's the main important part. You find players who sign big contracts. When they get there, they're like, why am I here? You're getting all the money, and you know what leads to? Obviously now you're getting all the money, you're not playing, and you feel like you were all over the place, you were talk of the town while you were playing for X club, right?
Smaller
now you signed
club.
For this club and
big
nothing
club.
The only way for me people to see me in Montabang, I need to go on the Insta, dog. I need to go to Taboo, dog. I need to be, you know, I need to stay relevant. So it means now I need to show them that, okay, fine, I'm not playing, but I've got the dough. To show it. You know, that's where I'm
take a loan.
I'm still
take
here.
A loan.
Yeah.
And you're alone now.
Yeah.
When you need to pay
alone,
it, you're alone.
Alone.
You're alone.
You're alone and you're alone.
You know? That's why it's called a loan. Because you're alone now when it needs to be fucking, you know, taken care of.
Hey, it's all too much, man. So
it's a whole lot, though. Yo, it's a whole lot. So it goes back to that, man. You get to a point, you're like, yo.
The writing makes sense.
Yo, you get to a point where you're like, but why did he go there?
Yeah.
Exactly.
But they don't understand. No, guys.
Look at Sanchez now. Alexis Sanchez is flourishing that Inter.
You get my point.
He got a big paycheck
but
at Man U.
But he's been doing it.
Yeah, but he was pop.
You know?
Because he didn't want to come there, bro.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's like Grealish. If he leaves City to another Smolanyana team or whatever.
It's a mess.
Yeah, he'd flourish.
Yeah.
But
again,
sometimes the players don't make it.
And then you look at it.
Teams.
Now they bought him for how much?
Yeah,
right?
100 million.
And then who's going to want you after that? Before they can Mosati Krilish, like, hey, yo.
Nah, but he will settle for like a 50 mil deal at a Sevilla or something.
Yeah.
But before, you still have to convince the Sevilla guys to say, guys, go for him.
Yes.
Go back and watch the Aston Villa games.
You know?
Anyway.
So it's just,
you got a question for Brighton?
I do. Just like, what's next? Like, is there some things that we're going to see you do, like, in your future?
You already explained it.
Huh?
You already explained it.
No, I'm giving TV work. Like, is there some stuff that you're up to?
She sees you on TV then.
Yeah.
Right now, like, I'm busy with Cheeky Media. Obviously, they do the morning live shows.
Oh, dope.
So, cheeky dope.
Doing,
football,
so,
clapping cheeks.
Yeah, so I only go there.
Once a footballer, always a footballer, right? He loves them cheeks. Mr. Cheeks. We call him Mr. Cheeks. Oh, yeah, so, Cheeky Media. Yeah. Let him explain. Let him go on. Let him go on. Yeah, Cheeky Media.
So, Cheeky Media, it's
what does Cheeky Media do, fam? Tell us.
Oh, they bring me in, man, here and there.
Oh, the cheeks bring you in.
Yeah, the cheeks, they bring me in for their sports segment.
Oh,
We do like their sports segment in the morning. So
let's do the cheeky
like
eye report.
Call up Nyana, yeah?
Cheeky eye report.
I just go through with the magnifying glass, putting it here. I'm like, I see ya. I see ya.
I see ya. Yeah.
You know? So man. I only do that like once in a while. They call me through. And then Vision View Radio as well.
Oh, dope.
Do sports segment as well. Yeah, it's just one of those where I'm trying to, you know, vision. I just want to enlarge my vision. You know?
Hey, man, let me give you a hug, man. Like,
I need it, yeah.
Hey, dog, hey.
So you can imagine. So, no, check this out. So it's my vision to empower the vision to see the cheeks, you know? I'm kidding. You're gonna kill me, you know. You're gonna get me to that point where I'm like, no. I like to thank my wife and my girlfriend. No, it's not that part, guys, please. We're not getting on that. Remember that nigga when he went.
Anyway. You
know, so yeah, and apart from that, we're doing a whole lot of motivational speaking. And just
no, you can't
MC
say motivation
gigs,
after
man.
cheeks.
You know?
Cheeks, yeah. Cheeks talk and sing.
Yeah.
And them, the cheeks are having you in. Motivation, bruh.
Yeah, man. I'm quite busy with quite a lot now. A few projects under wraps that are coming. Yeah. So I've taken so much interest into production, you know, media, the media space
nice,
as well.
Nice.
So I'm looking to grow myself, you know, into this kind of space, radio and TV, you know. Hopefully one day I'll be this big shot TV personality, you know.
You can
never know.
Yeah, you can
make
it.
You're well spoken.
You're well spoken. I was thinking the same thing. Yeah.
As long as we don't include the cheekies and the visions, it's okay.
And the... but you stopped with the Cavini.
With the Cavini. no, that one. I'm
dope.
Not,
now
I'm
you'll
sorted.
Make it. Now
but now I can even go back. It's okay, Moose.
You know,
no, I'm kidding. Okay.
thing is, we
need to go away with this whole thing of, you know, footballers, alcohol, it's taboo and whatnot. Yeah. I mean, like, for instance, you watch a lot of EPR.
For sure.
And you hear stories about obviously players going to
Rooney.
the bar, you know, all these kind of things.
See it even now.
Yeah, you know, we need to understand that before we are athletes, we are footballers, we are human, you know, and we have our human desires, you know.
As a football fan, man, it's hard to hear that because I see you guys like gods, man. Like,
yeah.
You guys are like,
but that's the problem.
From another
that's
world.
Not, that's why. But now, why do you see me as a football god? Whereas you just mentioned now, your Rooney, who earns more, who's doing big things in Europe that you can't see. You find it normal for him to be seen at a club doing this and that. You know, all those the barriers. We need to break that because we say our football is not going anywhere. We always compare to our European counterparts.
Yeah.
Whereas there's certain limitations, whereas we can say they need to play like this, but they cannot behave like this. Mm. Why is there a barrier?
It's crazy, right?
It's insane. Yeah. So hence I'm saying it's just a matter of educating our footballers or our athletes, so to speak. Mm. It's a matter of when, how, and where. That's all.
Love
you
it.
Know. You need to say, okay, when can you do it?
Yeah.
And where can you do it?
How?
And how can you do it?
Wow.
Because the intake as well is very much important. If you have your limits, man, at some point I'd be like, when I'm sleeping, this bottle needs to be here besides me. You know?
3 o'clock.
Before shower, you know, all those kind of things. So those are the things that we need to educate. Because the more we say, it's like umntwana owechair, the more you say, at the end of the day, you're going to come back pregnant. What are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
So it's the same thing with our athletes. It's the same case where you're going to keep on saying, don't, because this and that. But because I know that whatever you're saying, it's not fair, I'm going to keep on indulging. And to a point that I'm going to go overboard to prove a point.
Yeah.
So if we give you, like, for instance, adverts, we never camped adverts.
Mm.
We never camped. Mm. So adverts, Gavin will tell you straight, but come to the next game for a pre-match meal and so forth.
Yeah.
You know, you get to
you.
Match day. And it developed a sense of responsibility amongst the guys.
Ah.
You know, we knew that. Either way, we're not
camping. Let him die.
You can't let
you're
him
down.
You have that, thing. You have that responsibility
down,
to say, I'm a footballer. I have a game tomorrow.
Mm.
On Friday,
beautiful.
I'll do everything during the day. 1 o'clock, cut off, I go home, relax, elevate, you know, just psych myself up for the game tomorrow, you know? But now, because you keep on saying, camp for 5 days, what?
within that camp, I'm going to feel like I'm being kept in prison here.
Yeah.
And the slight chance that I get, slight chance, that's how it used to happen. Slight chance, Miss Puma camp, immediately Miss Puma tops. Then we go overboard.
Yeah.
Because of that community that I told you about, we're like, we're chele, my daughter. So now, if you develop that thing, you give us that sense of responsibility, it's going to be easier as well for us footballers or athletes to behave as one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey man, you'd fit in right well here at the podcast.
Ah, dog, for real, dog.
Some shire.
Nah, thanks for coming, dog.
Thanks.
We love you, Kavini.
No, thank you. Thank you guys for having me, man. It's been amazing.
Man, we have so much in common, bro. Like, yeah. I had to retire from radio at an early age as well.
When I met her, you had to retire because Bonga Bone. Yeah, because Bang ass. That's why he had to retire from radio early. Two different disabilities. How about disabilities?
So Tabang Messi Tangani said the ELS one and
the ELS one.
And there's one thing I used to love it when he went. Please say it for me, at least on air. Man.
Oh, yeah, he's listened to me when I said why. Oh, Morning Glory.
Oh, he mentioned it.
Yeah.
Ilamurenje. Ilamurenje.
And then I had Di Marcello. Time, Chance. You're still in nappies.
Ben Sanguela back then, man. You guys are still babies. He's the third host, man.
I need to leave this place.
That's the third host.
We must be careful of you, man.
So, Clint, in closing, we
No problem. Man. Thanks for coming. You're such a legend, bro. Appreciate you. Amazing sense of humor. Percy Tau never scored against you, but we all saw it. Percy Tau struggles with Brighton.
Drop it.
By joining our Patreon page for exclusive content, behind-the-scenes content, and a whole lot more.